leave it to the wisdom of our esteemed brother as to whether we sit or stand or whatever. Some of our guests had to leave. Others have come in. We especially welcome the dear ones from Redeemer. And we are so thankful for you and others. The elders asked me, and this was a great joy to me, to select some of my favorite psalms and hymns. I love music of all kinds, all sorts, all stripes, and the same is true in the Christian realm. But I think nothing has yet been invented that it can improve upon the psalms from the Old Testament Psalter or the hymns that were sung all the way from apostolic early church days to our present day. And we have some hymn writers in our very midst who have done wonderful jobs and are working on things even now. And so they asked me if I would select a number of my favorite psalms and hymns. And so we're going to do that. And the first one we're going to sing is, Brother Jim, you'll probably know it to a different tune, but here in our hymnal we sing it to this tune. Either of the tunes are wonderful. And it's Mit Freuden Zart, with Joyful Desire, I think is the tune name. And why is this hymn so special to me? This third stanza, I could go through it all, but there's one part in there. It says, For death he gave me life indeed, and kept my feet from falling. And so this is a wonderful hymn of praise. Brother Ken, I'll just say a brief comment. And of course, it was written by a wonderful German Reformed pastor. And most of those guys, and it should be with all pastors, are theologians. Number one, all praise to God who reigns above. Brother Ken.
All right, let us stand, please, for the singing of the Lord's praises this afternoon. We will not stand for the entire service, but let's stand as we sing this opening hymn. All praise to God who reigns above.
Praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of wonders, power and love, the God of our salvation. With healing from my soul he fills, the God who every sorrow seals, to God all praise and glory. Give praise and
give praise and glory. All idols underfoot be trod. The Lord is God, the Lord is God. To God all praise and glory. Then come before His presence now, and banish fear and sadness. To your Redeemer pay your vow, and sing with joy and gladness. Though great distress my soul befell, the Lord my God did all things well. To God all praise and glory.
The second one we will sing is actually a paraphrase of Isaiah 9, and in most hymnals it is listed under the first advent, or under the advent of Christ. And this is such a wonderful passage, and one of the things that I love about many of these hymns is that they're actually paraphrases of Scripture. And they take Scripture and put it into prose or poetry, and music is written for it. And Isaiah 9 is a wonderful section where it opens up. Gloom is over the land. No hope, no peace. And Isaiah begins and he says, this darkness that is over the land shall not stay. And those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, something is going to happen. And it's going to be so wonderful. And there is such reference back to the days of the judges, as in the days when Midian fell before the sword of God. Gideon had how many soldiers with him? 300. How many were in the Amalekite army? 40,000. Humanly speaking, impossible. And Gideon's soldiers never had to draw a sword. And he says, God's going to do something so wonderful, as in the days when Midian fell before the sword of God. And it ends up with, there's a king coming, wonderful counselor, mighty God. I love this. It's often for Advent or the Christmas season, but it's a wonderful hymn to be sung at any time. We sing it often in family worship, do we not, sweetheart? Brother Ken.
A child of hope is born to us, a son.
By the way, I've reminded you that in Isaiah 9, it doesn't say the government shall be upon his shoulders, plural. He doesn't need both shoulders to sustain the government of this world. It's singular, upon his shoulder. What a great God. And then this next hymn has become a hymn that I didn't know until I came here. And you taught it to me. And I have grown to love it so much. And if I'm not mistaken, it was a favorite of one of your former pastors, Brother R.F. Gates. And amid the fears that oppress the day, I think the message speaks for itself.
Amid the fears that oppress our day, across the clouds that obscure our way, one golden truth sends its shining ray. Our God is sovereign still. His holy purpose unchanging stands. The stars still turn at their Lord's command. He holds the world in his mighty hand, our God is sovereign still, our God is sovereign still. No wars may rise and no kingdoms fall, though ills may threaten and fears enthrall, our God still lives and he hears our call. Our God is sovereign still. His holy purpose unchanging stands. The stars still turn at their Lord's command. He holds the world in his mighty hands. Our God is sovereign still. Our God is sovereign still. Fierce the fight against a host of wrong. His word is sure and his arm is strong. The day is his, raise his triumph song. Our God is sovereign still. His holy purpose and changing stands. The stars still turn at their Lord's command. He holds the world in his mighty hand. Our God is sovereign still. Our God is sovereign still. When Christ shall come to receive his own, when his the kingdom, the power, the throne, eternal King, he shall reign alone. Our God is sovereign still. His holy purpose unchanging stands. The stars still turn at their Lord's command. He holds the world in his mighty hands. Our God is sovereign still. Our God is sovereign still.
Amen. I believe one of the reasons, among many, of why the church today has lost a lot of its effectiveness to the world is because we have failed to sing the songs that Jesus sang. And Jesus sang the Psalms. And here this next one is, it's more than just a paraphrase. It is Psalm 89. And it is, there has been great debate in the scholastic world as if over this, as to whether when God promised David that there would never be a time in which his son was not, one of his sons was reigning upon the throne. More of the liberal scholars have all argued that this is not a covenant, but I strongly disagree. I believe the Father entered into a covenant with David. And matter of fact, in Psalm 89, that settles it. And so what we have here And I love that there, God has promised that there will never be a time, as it says here, behold God's truth and grace displayed, for he has faithful covenant made, and he has sworn that David's son shall ever sit on David's throne. And what we have now, whether you like it or not or believe it or not, Jesus is sitting on David's throne. Psalm 89.
Forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Your faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know your name. I see the mercies that endure forever, building firm and sure. Behold God's truth and grace displayed, for he has faithful covenant made, and he has sworn that David's son shall ever sit upon his throne. For him my mercy shall endure, my covenant made with him is sure. His throne and grace I will maintain forever while the end remains. Your lofty throne has justice for its cornerstone, and shining bright before your blessing is a nation proud, whose people know the joyful sound. May in the light, O Lord, shall live, the light your grace and favor give. Your name with gladness they confess, exalted in your righteousness.
The next song we sing is one that you're familiar with the tune. It's to a number of songs in our hymnal. But why this is so special to me, some of you, most of you do not know Pastor Bill Payne. Dr. Jim, you remember Pastor Bill Payne, a dear, dear man of God. And I remember I was riding along in the car with him, and the Lord took him early at 63 years of age, after several heart attacks. And we were talking about the reality of this. And he said something and stuck with me. He said, all that ultimately matters is Christ. And then out of his own heart, without any words, he began to sing this hymn. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. And as you see the progression of this hymn, his cross is not bad, but for us it's life and it's health. The head that once was crowned with thorns.
The head that once
Christ was crowned with thorns, is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. The highest place that heaven affords is his, is his by right. The King of kings and Lord of lords, and has eternal light. The joy of all who dwell above, the joy of all below. To whom he manifests his love, and grants his name to know. With all its shame, with all its praise is here. Their name an everlasting name, their joy the joy of heaven. They suffer with their Lord below, they reign with him above. Their profit and their joy to know, from their His love. The cross he bore, his life and hell, though shame and death to him. His people's hope, his people's love, their everlasting peace.
And by the way, that hymn was written by Thomas Kelly, who was, if I'm not mistaken, a British Baptist. And the next one may be unfamiliar to most of you. Really, I was kind to you guys because some of my favorite hymns y'all probably never heard of. Some that are in the Gadsby hymnal, Sovereign Ruler of the Skies. I love these things. So I was easy on you. But this one might be a little hard for you if you don't, if you've never sung it before. But it really, I've said to Debbie, I've told you, I said, if you ever put anything on my headstone, if Christ doesn't return, there are only three words I won't put on there. Addicted to Christology. That's enough. This is a wonderful hymn written by a German, another German. Franz, you're well represented here, brother. Another German Reformed pastor. And I can't even begin to pronounce the name of the tune. Volt er Weissen... Was mein Priest. That's the closest I can get. Wissen. Yeah, that's right, Brother Ken. I was just checking on you. What she asked me is my prize. What the secret to be wise. What the name. What the wealth I value most. What the name wherein I boast. All right. Thank you. hymn really needs no introduction, and if it's not my favorite, it's probably not my favorite alone. Most of us love this hymn. It's so easy to quote Romans 8:28, isn't it? And we know, but that's not the way the language of the New Testament begins. To those loving God, all things work together for good, even to them who are the called according to His purpose. And the name of this was written by Samuel Rodegast, and I assume, and it was translated by Catherine Winksvers. I know he was German. And the name of the tune was Was Gott tut. Is that right? Very good, thank you. I get an A for my German, right? What God does, whatever my God. And Dr. Jim and Miss Lynn, there's a slight little variation with this tune. You'll recognize it and you'll pick it up, but from what you know. But it's wonderful. Whatever my God ordains is right. What great comfort this wonderful hymn is.
It's an A for his German, not so much for his singing. But anyway.
I just want to clear up something. I do. I have over the years kidded Brother Earl about his singing. But no one loves hymnody more than Brother Earl. I've never met anyone who loves singing and singing hymns more than Earl Blackburn. There's a song in his heart, and he loves the message of these hymns, and he has encouraged me, honestly, with his singing. And he sings with gusto, and I love it. Whatever my God ordains is right.
And then I'm going to ask Pastor Billy Sutton, when we finish, to come up and pray. And then I'll give a benediction. But this next hymn, Dr. Renahan referred to it this morning. It'll be 16 years if the Lord lets me live to December. They operated on me 3 times in 8 days. After the 3rd surgery, the doctors told my sweetheart to call in a family because they didn't think I would make it through the night. One of the elders was there, later repeated the story Debbie told me. He kissed her on the forehead and said, "I'll be back." And they went and called a prayer meeting on Saturday night. From 6 to 10 o'clock they prayed. The next morning they canceled all of Sunday school, except for the little infants in the nursery. And they had a church-wide prayer meeting. I had swollen up. I had ARDS. Dr. Tim knows what that is. My lungs had collapsed. My kidneys had stopped working. And my temperature was way out there. And they said, if he does live till 3 o'clock in the... if he does live till 3 o'clock tomorrow, which would be Sunday, he'll have to... If his kidneys doesn't start working, we're going to have to dialysize him, which means if he lives, he'll be on dialysis the rest of my life. I remember looking up, and there are 5 or 6 doctors at the foot of my bed, and I didn't know what they were saying. I went back off. The next thing I remember, not trying to be dirty or vulgar, but the next thing I remember, my wife is holding up a urine bag that looks like a big water balloon ready to explode. And she's crying and she's nudging my shoulders and she says, "You're going to make it, sweetheart, you're going to make it." It was 12:15 the next day on Sunday afternoon. And for the next 3 weeks, well, after they finally let me go home, for the next 3 weeks, I could not hold a glass of water. I could not even eat. My sweetheart fed me every bite that I ate and every swallow that I drank. I couldn't even hold my own Bible to read it. She would read it to me. I'd wake up and she would read it at least 3 times, sometimes 4 times a day. And then with that pretty, precious, wonderful voice of hers. And I'll never forget one morning. We've sung this hymn. And to you, most of you have never heard it before. It's a very short, simple, and sweet hymn. "Fountain of grace, rich, full, and free. What need I that is not in thee?" And she, with that precious voice of hers, just sang this sweet little hymn to me. And I was sleeping 21, 22 hours a day. But I will never forget this. This is one of my favorite. What more, if I have Christ, if you have Christ, what more do you need? "Fountain of grace, rich, full, and free." And sweetheart, this is because of you. Well, it's because of Christ. But you helped me through those dark days unlike any other. Thank you. last hymn is, as it's recorded in the hymnals, is always an evening hymn. And it is called, the tune is called Tallis Evening Hymn, written by Thomas Tallis. The words were written by Thomas Kyn. Thomas Tallis was part of the English Reformation, a great, beautiful brother. Kyn was singing one of his great Tallis Renaissance. If you love me, keep my commandments. And Thomas Kyn was the archbishop, or the bishop at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And it's an evening hymn. And actually, it's where we get the doxology, where it actually originated. And before I knew that the elders had invited Dr. Renahan, I'll never forget, brother, that we were sitting in a worship service beside each other, and for the closing hymn that evening, we sang All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night. And I remember looking over at Dr. Jim, and tears were in his eyes. I said, this is wonderful. And there's one stanza in here that says, oh, when shall I in endless day forever chase dark sleep away, and hymns with the supernal choir incessant sing and never tire. And there's coming a day where all the redeemed of the Lord shall be gathered in glory. We're getting kind of tired. I've taken you through a little hymnal journey, and you're a little tired. But there's coming a day where we're going to be singing the praises of God incessantly. No tiredness, no need for sleep. And so I think this is a wonderful closing hymn, Tallis Evening Hymn, written by Thomas Tallis. What a wonderful musical composer. After this, Brother Billy, will you come up and pray, and then I will close us out with a benediction.
Let's stand, please.
Oh, praise to Thee, my God, this night.
one of the first people to greet me when I came to Shreveport was Brother Billy Sutton, who was not yet pastor, and he had me over there to speak to a youth group. And I spoke to them from Romans 9 on a divine theodicy, and I thought, if that doesn't drive them away, nothing will. And they started shouting and praising God while I was preaching from Romans 9, and I thought, man, I like this crowd. Brother Billy, I love you forever. Shall appreciate you and your dear wife. Thank you for being friends of us. Would you pray, and then I'll offer a benediction.
Well, I would take a moment of personal privilege. It's your fault for letting me. I do want to thank Heritage Baptist Church just for your friendship, and we're family. We're so connected. In fact, we had a visitor this morning that visited with y'all last week, and I said, you can go either place and you'll be just fine. But I wanted to say a few things about Brother Earl that I believe are just wonderful, that God really has to work these types of things in your heart for you to exhibit these things. First of all, Brother Earl is a kingdom man. As long as God's kingdom advances, he does not care where a person ends up or how he ends up, as long as the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom is advancing. And I'm thankful for that. That's a great example. There's way too much competition among churches, even churches of like mind. And we need to slay that. And I thank you for his example. I really do appreciate that. Related to that is Brother Earl he's a pastor's pastor. Every pastor needs a pastor. There's things that you need to talk about that they need to be outside of the realm of influence in your church. And there's never been a time when I've called Brother Earl when he has not been helpful to me, willing to point me to the Word of God and to faithful ministry. So I'm thankful for your willingness in that. I've told our people that Brother Earl is your pastor because he's pastored your pastor. And the other thing about Brother Earl, you wouldn't know this, maybe you would, but he's a pragmatist. He is. You know what a pragmatist is? You do what works. But he's a principled pragmatist, because the only thing that works is God's Word. And I have been so blessed in this. I taught you something this morning, or this afternoon, didn't I? Okay. I scared him. He's a principled pragmatist. You know, really, churches that try all these newfangled things, they're really not doing what works. The Word of God and the power of the Spirit, that's what works. And Brother Earl is known for that. And one final thing. This is not about Brother Earl. It's about Miss Debbie. Miss Debbie is the quiet helper. Is she not? Just...
Amen.
You deserve honor for the way you've supported Brother Earl. Many times the reason why he's in the pulpit, it's because of her. And so we're thankful for you. Not because of anything that you've done, but what God has done through you and in you. And I believe it would be appropriate for us to thank the Lord for them. And let's continue on, brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, we come to you thankful most of all for the chief shepherd, the supreme pastor, the one that laid down his life, not only physically, but spiritually for his sheep. Oh, when we consider that the Lord Jesus Christ bore the sin, of a number that no man can number. What a Savior. And we thank You for how He shepherds us. And Lord, we thank You for all the true shepherds that point to Him. Lord, we thank You for Brother Earl and Miss Debbie. Lord, we thank You for their lives, their witness, their testimony. We thank You that You have filled them with who You are. And Lord, they have been faithful to the call. And Lord, we ask, Lord, the richest, richest blessings upon them as they transition to another place for this season of their life. And Lord, we find great joy. Lord, though we will miss them and seeing them physically, regularly, we find great joy that You, our God, will be fully with us and fully with them. And thus we will be together with You. Thank You for this day of worship and singing. Lord, we thank You for the truth of the gospel. Lord, we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Praise You this day. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hear now the Lord's benediction upon us as we're dismissed. And now may the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You are dismissed. Go in peace.